Thanks, Jeff. Unfortunately, Kelly couldn't be here. I'm sure he'd much rather be looking at Kelly right now. But Kelly and Art really did the heavy lifting on this project with help from Nicole and Laura, and Lewis and I were sort of more globally supervising, you might say. But we've heard a lot of talks today about bioreactors, and there's enough data now published that we could do a meta-analysis on it, and that's what this project was all about. So I'm going to go through this part pretty quickly because this is more background on these do show up here, yeah. Why these things kind of work, and again, we're talking about off-site edge of field practices here. Typically, we've lost that connectivity when we have tie lines. And so denitrifying bioreactors can treat this high nitrate water. There's lots of different designs. There's things like, mostly what we've heard about today are beds where that I talked about earlier and others have talked about, where the water flows through a wood chip or some other kind of material, a high carbon bed. But there, especially in New Zealand, there also have been denitrification walls. And I guess, Dan, I think you did a denitrification wall in Iowa. So there have been walls where you basically dig a trench and fill it with something like wood chips, and the water will flow through some of that. So those are the two kind of designs. I would say there's a lot more of the beds out in the literature than there are the walls. So again, mostly this is a carbon source. You're trying to generate anaerobic conditions. Typically, they're a meter to 2 meters deep. Retention time varies, as we'll see, and the question is, how can we take all the data that are available and look at how nitrate removal varies with design, so beds versus walls, temperature, loading, and a few other factors that we'll get to. And again, the need for this this is a kind of a quantitative approach, and the reason for this is a pretty recent literature. When you look at the number of papers published, in the early 90s were some of the first ones, and you can see how that's really picked up from 2010 to 14. We're over 20 papers. There's already been close to 15 papers just in 2015 alone. So this literature has really expanded dramatically over the last few years. And so this is a good opportunity then to try and put it all together in a quantitative way. So meta-analysis is more commonly used now in a lot of different fields than it used to be. This came out of medical research initially, but it's a way of quantifying trends using these kind of, you can use some summary statistics. There's a variety of statistical methods that can be used. The focus that we did and what most people do is on peer-reviewed literature, so we didn't use non-peer-reviewed papers. Since most of this literature is really recent, you can contact the author if you have a question, or you say, can you give me another piece of data so we can standardize this and have all the information we need. Sometimes I was involved in another meta-analysis where we went back a long time. You can't do that. But with these recent papers, in fact, a lot of people are in the room. So it's a lot easier to do it. And we use the MetaWin version 2.1. That's what I used in previous studies. It seems like that's a really commonly used meta-analysis software. So again, Kelly and her team focused used Google Scholar and recommendations to try and track down all the different papers that they could actually calculate the nitrate removal rate, not just percent removal. And so this isn't like as many as what Laura found in her study, but we ended up with 26 peer-reviewed papers, so that's not too bad. There were 27 bed units, 3 wall units, and 27 laboratory column studies. So that's sort of the scale of the literature that we had. And again, you can break things into categories to try and better understand the what's going on with the rates. And again, we used the standardized unit of grams per cubic meter per day to do this. And so we have the design as one category, so bed, wall, laboratory. We have wood source, softwood, hardwood. And then we also looked at whether it was N limited, and that decision was made to use a less than a half a milligram of N per liter or non-N limited. And then there were also other categories we could break it into. The influent N concentration could be broken into different ranges. You can see the ranges of hydraulic residence time. The age of the unit's a really important thing. Finally, now we're getting some studies that are on longer term, longer time periods. A lot of studies initially were just 1 year, so we had 1 year, sort of 1 to 2 years, then greater than 2 years. And then, as I talked about earlier and others have talked about, temperature's a critical factor. So you can see the three temperature categories we ended up with here. So less than 6 all the way up to greater than 17 and above. So these are all categories that can be used once you compile this database essentially in a spreadsheet, and you have the grams per cubic meter per day, you have all these different factors, then you can look at them and look at them quantitatively. Again, several of these studies had multiple units. Some recorded a lot of information and standard deviation, other ones didn't. Sometimes people go in these meta-analysis studies, and if it's in a figure, you can use a program called Data Thief to steal the data out of the figure, essentially. And again, we could contact authors to get information as well. Meta-analysis are based on an effect size where you take the natural log of the mean, say, removal rate in this case, against a control mean. And they came up with a unique approach that I was not familiar with because there's no control in this, in a bioreactor. So they basically, and there is a literature for this that supports it, they used a really low rate. I think it was 0.1 grams per cubic meter per day and removal, essentially saying that's nothing. That didn't do virtually anything. And then compared everything to that. So if, like I was talking about, if we had a bioreactor that had a removal rate of 20 grams per cubic meter per day, it's 20 over 0.1, the natural log of that, and that becomes your standardized effect size. And so that's a way of taking out, it makes this weighted kind of mean effect size that you can use. And then the software allows you to use this bootstrapping approach where you can generate 95% confidence intervals by subsampling over and over again from all the variables in your data set. So what was unique about this is using this control mean as a, sort of a default value, which I actually have to admit I hadn't seen before. So these are the figures of what you get from this kind of analysis. So in this case, we're looking at beds, and you can see the N again, just like Laura had, beds, laboratory studies, walls, not that many wall studies. Then this is that the natural log of that ratio that I was talking about of the actual removal rate over the control removal rate, and then the 95% confidence interval. And then in this little table are the back transformed removal rates, because these effect sizes are not really meaningful to anyone. An effect size of 4 doesn't really tell you that much, but if you back transform them, you can get the mean and the 5 and 95% range of variables, but in terms of grams and then per cubic meter per day. So for example, in this particular figure, beds averaged 4.7, lab 3.5, and walls much lower, 1.7. They also indicated here are the statistical differences, and you can see that those are different here. So right away, and walls were the least effective in terms of this analysis. Hardwood, softwood, there weren't many studies that actually specified this, so the N is pretty small, and there's no real difference. But again, the N is pretty small. Lots of people use mixed wood, and so you can't really separate it out as hardwood or softwood. This is one of the more interesting ones, the bed influent nitrogen concentration. So we go from low, so less than 10, 10 to 30, greater than 30. And you can see as concentration goes up, so does removal rate. So that makes a lot of sense. And you can see the actual grams per cubic meter per day go up quite a bit, from 2.4 all the way up to 9.3 grams per day as you get to the higher nitrate rate. So higher nitrate concentrations, higher end removal rates. Retention time, so the retention times again from less than 6 to greater than 20 hours. There's the N, and again, longer retention times, especially once we get up over 6 hours, the removal rates were much higher. The short retention times had really very small retention removal rates. Another really important one that I don't think has ever been looked at before, again, is the bed age. So as we would expect, there's this first year effect of fresh wood chips. So the bottom one here, 1 year effects, had the highest rate, 9.1 grams per cubic meter per day. And then that by 2 years and greater, it seems like it had stable. It was pretty stable, you know, in the high twos removal rate. So an important effect, and we have to be careful when we look at literature. If it's the first year, you know, keep that in mind. Let's look at some further years. And certainly our study contributed to this, and this was very consistent with what we found in our bioreactor. Again, whether it's N-limited or not, this is the less than 0.5, greater than 0.5, and not as big an effect as we might have expected, but it's in the direction we would have expected. And then the other major factor, temperature. So the colder, and again, this story, I can be like, Laura, don't throw tomatoes. I mean, it's, you know, the lower the temperature, the lower the rate. But again, this is a nice quantitative approach showing from 2.1 up to 8.6 at the highest temperatures. And again, for some of us, our tiles barely ever get above to this higher rate. They're down in these. But again, just showing, again, what we see from different studies, but when you put them all together, they make a pretty clear pattern here. And there was a reasonably linear relationship of this is temperature versus the nitrate removal rate. It shows there's a lot of scatter in any of these results. I mean, it's not a perfect relationship, but that's where the sort of putting it together with the meta-analysis is pretty useful. So what does this all show? Well, the bioreactors show promise. They clearly remove nitrate. The beds may need to be designed to extend the residence time at low temperatures and during high flows, but the high flows are a problem for everybody with every practice. The lab column studies are useful for looking at a range of different factors, and some of the studies we heard earlier today showed that. And again, field-based studies need to look long-term at some of these removal rates. I think that's a really important consideration. Again, it's really helpful for everybody who's doing this kind of work to always report their removal rates in grams per cubic meter per day, give the variance if possible, the number of measurements, the other kind of data, supporting data, so it's really easy in the future for people to put this together. This kind of analysis could be expanded to other kinds of factors with bioreactors, the phosphorus, gas emissions, mercury, hydrogen sulfide, and the flushes of DOC that occur. So a lot of other things that you could do this kind of analysis for. I don't think for most of those other factors, there's not enough literature to do that right now. And so if anybody wants to see the papers, those are the ones that were used. Some of them are in press, but again, all the papers have been or will be published pretty soon. So with that, finished.
Yep. Thank you, Mark. Questions?
Can you please go back to the graph with the temperature and get this one? First, I want to know how you calculated the natural removal rate. Is that the saturated wood chip, or is it just a total bed? And then second, in the few slides before this, you showed that in the nitrate concentration also had an effect on the nitrate removal rate. So did you take that effect out, meaning that all these are at the same nitrate concentration, or does this have both effects in it? Temperature and different.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able. So the first question, what was the first question? you shouldn't do that. Oh, yeah. Most of these are the wetted area, so not the total area. But, you know, that's a tricky question because everybody doesn't necessarily report it the same way. So I know when we report ours, they're on the wetted area. But that may not be uniform, and that may be some of the variation in this. Second, there's confounding factors here. I don't know. Kelly would have to answer that. I don't know. My guess is this was not, none of these were the limited, very limited nitrate. But nitrate, it is hard to look at a lot of these factors singly because we do know they're they're interactive, and so that's a challenge.
Yeah, I actually have a question for the same, because when you compare or correlate the absolute rates with temperature, then I think your data is biased by having higher. I think that probably the velocity varies a lot between your data. So some of them have high loads and some of the others low loads. So I mean, trying to correlate the relative removal with temperature would probably get a better response.
Yeah.
Because you are biased now by having probably different flow rates there. So by increasing the hydraulic loading rate, you will also increase the absolute rate, even though the performance gets worse.
I have to think about that.
That's
very good. Other questions?
I've got a question from a novice here. What's the deal with the mercury here?
Oh, well, if your bioreactor goes through all the nitrate and starts reducing sulfate, that's when you can methylate mercury. And so that's always been any practice that we put out in the field. As long as you have some nitrate left, you have no problem. But if you get it really anaerobic, you start reducing sulfate. And so when you have sulfate reduction, there's always mercury. There's mercury deposition everywhere. There's always mercury in the water, and you can generate methyl mercury. The measurements that we've made, methyl mercury is actually pretty low. So originally that was a big concern. I'm not sure how much of a concern it is now. But it's a concern because wetlands, natural wetlands that generate reduced sulfate generate methyl mercury. That's the source. And so it's those bacteria, that's what happens. So there's always been this extra concern of if sulfate's reduced. If you don't go through all the nitrate, you don't have to worry about it.
Very good. Thank you.